recording?
Yeah.
Oh, heck yeah. Well, one on one, we're going to start off hot, Owen.
Okay, fine. I'm a little distracted.
We're going to start this thing off hot.
All right, ready.
Welcome to Loser Leaves Wrestling. This is the news you can't lose. My name is Red Jefferson. I'm here with...
Moe Chaswell. Hello, everybody. I'm not ready for this. Low energy.
No, we're super high energy. How you feeling, Moe? You're low energy right now? Did you eat this morning?
I had some crackers, peanut butter, just heavy things in my stomach. So maybe that's my problem.
It's 3 p.m. your time, correct?
Uh-huh. 3:30, yeah.
3:30, and you've only eaten crackers and peanut butter?
I also had coffee. First thing.
There's not enough protein in that.
I don't have much to eat. I don't have my protein powder. I don't have, I got broccoli, you know. I need to.
I want you to eat double the amount of peanut butter next time.
Maybe that's my issue. Yeah.
You need more of that. But we've got news. We got news all over the wrestling world, Moe. There's some interesting things. This is the news from December 13th to December 19th. Let's start it off. The biggest news story of the week, Moe. Biggest news story. Raw draws a new lowest number ever.
Ooh, wow. Big.
Ever.
Yeah.
1.5.
Good. Congrats.
USA is pissed. WWE Brass are pissed. They don't know what to do. Apparently, there's going to be a big reset. Apparently, USA is very upset, and they're like, we don't want any more kiddie shit. We want gritty, violent, and dark.
Now, how important is Dave Meltzer to you? Where, like, what is his word like to you?
His word?
Yeah, no, his wow. word. Is it
oh, his word?
The truth?
Oh, it's solid. It's solid enough. I don't prescribe to the fact that he just makes shit up. I think he hears everything from people who do make shit up. But I believe he hears everything he writes.
Okay. Because he, I think he said that is not true. I read that this morning, that he tweeted that it's not actually true. But
what,
I don't know.
The USA thing?
Yeah, I'm looking it up now. I'm trying to find it. But he says that USA did not say that to them. But either way, I'd be happy if they got USA Network on their backs, you know, trying to fix it.
I'm just happy to make them sweat. Mm-hmm. I want them to sweat. I want them to make some big, sincere changes, and I feel like this is the start.
It could be.
Right, Moe?
Yeah, no, I think it could be. yeah, I don't know. It is. Yeah, the kiddie stuff is true, because they try to make things gritty, or they have been over the last couple months. Like, Raw Underground, I guess, is their, like, gritty attempt, you know, mm-hmm. of realism
sure.
or some dumb stuff. But even that is very kiddie. It's like a 13, you know, not, you know, it's like a 12-year-old version of, like, real life. Shit, you know, cool,
real cool
girls.
Stuff.
Yeah, girls and fighting, yeah, but for real.
Boobs and fighting. And there's no ropes here. There's no rules either. Yeah.
Fight Club.
The one thing.
It's a kid that just saw Fight Club for the first time.
Yeah. But one thing, though, I would like is, I don't need dark and gritty. What I really want is thoughtful. I want them to actually put some effort in the week by week, where they're not doing the same things over and over again. One thing I noticed about AEW, who did Cody fight just this past week? He fought...
Angelico.
And that, whether you like the match or not, we had a discussion on our last podcast, Anything on TV, The Woos and What's of AEW Dynamite. You should check it out. And review those podcasts and like us on Instagram. But, you know, there's every matchup, they have so many that feel fresh and new. Like Cody versus Angelico, whether you liked it or not, feels like it is a brand new match. And AEW has a third of the WWE's roster. A third of their roster. Yet when you watch Raw or SmackDown, it feels like you're watching the same matches each week. It feels like you're watching the same matches over and over each week with the same finishes in every other match. And I'm just so, like, there's no thought. Like, I feel like Tony Khan puts a lot of thought into making things feel fresh and new. And with all his other faults, you know, and he has them, things feel fresh on AEW Dynamite. Fair?
Yeah, like John Moxley's reign. It's making me think of that. And that I thought I would be bored by it, but, you know, it, somehow he kept it fresh every month for close to a year. Rarely, if ever, did they repeat matches or feuds with John Moxley. He made every opponent look good in losing and look like threats afterwards at the very least, you know. Mm-hmm. And he was amazing at promoting every single match. And yeah. I don't see that with WWE with their matches. I see the same title matches over and over again, rematches. I was shocked to see that Seth Rollins kept facing Rey Mysterio's son like over and over again.
Forever. Yeah. And even like I think TLC has the main event is Roman Reigns versus Kevin Owens. And we've seen that a few times now over the years, you know, and I like Kevin Owens and I like this new version of Roman Reigns, but there's so many other wrestlers out there and they could be fighting each other. And it's interesting, actually, what WWE is so stale and almost AEW is almost too fresh. Like they're constantly changing to the point where it's infuriating.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, we have a new storyline. Oh, next week it's dropped because they're doing a different storyline. It's very interesting. Well, we're moving on, Moet. We're moving on. This one, I just wanted to sneak this in there because I didn't know about this. It's kind of sad. JR let known on his podcast that Dean Malenko is battling Parkinson's.
Ooh.
I didn't know that. And apparently he's been battling it for a while. And actually, I kind of did notice it. I was watching some interviews afterward of him, and you notice a little bit of an unsteadiness or shaking, or maybe I'm just noticing it because I'm looking at it. But did you have a favorite Dean Malenko match or moment?
He had a great feud with Chris Jericho in WCW. I thought he was really cool, except he had no personality. I just liked that he, of all the submission moves he knew how to do.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
I kind of like the fact that he was cold, like Iceman. I just love the idea of Iceman Dean Malenko, you know, just this cold, calculating, like he doesn't care about your like a personality or a gimmick. He's just like, I just want to show you one of my holes. He's like Stu Hart. He reminds me of like a young Stu Hart.
I think that's what made that feud with Jericho so good, is because he's so charismatic, especially in that era. He's just so loud. He's loud and young. And just trying so hard to get the attention of anybody that would be willing to listen. So it made for a really good back and forth between this guy that had zero charisma on purpose, I guess, versus Jericho. Yeah.
We'll continue with that. But like, we wish you well, Dean Malenko. We love you here at Loser Leaves Wrestling. Hey, why don't you give us a listen? Moving on. We got, this is cool. Melina, remember Melina from Eminem?
Mm-hmm.
She may be returning, and they've been talking about it for a while, but she is almost certainly returning soon to NXT, which is a perfect place for her. Their women's division is the best in the industry right now, and they could use someone that's a vet like her, and I really loved her when she was on.
Was she a good performer?
Great performer. Huh. She was a great wrestler, and I thought she was really cool character. This kind of like Mean Girl, but she was like cooler than Mean Girl. I don't know.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, good. That's good for her. Yeah, she can, because the NXT division is very good. Like, you have to be good. You have to be able to keep up with them. So,
honestly, I really like, she can go. Okay. She can really go. And like, well, I remember what's her name, Mickey James was on Raw. Melina was on SmackDown at the time, and they were the two best athletes on their program. I remember that. I remember them. I always wanted them to face each other, but they never did, which was sad.
Well, that's interesting.
But did you like Melina when she was?
I don't really remember her that much. That whole era of women's wrestling, I didn't really pay a ton of attention to be honest. I mean, I remember her.
That was when you were out of wrestling, right? Like that late 2000s.
I was still watching it a bit, so I do remember she was with John Morrison and the other guy. I forgot what.
Joey Mercury.
Oh, that was Joey Mercury. Yeah, I remember that a little bit, but yeah, I was like starting to fade out a little bit during that era, so maybe that's why I don't remember any of her matches or anything.
Well, I'm excited to see what she does there. I just love seeing vets come back that can still go, and she can still go. Good for her. Happy for her. Mickey James is doing great, so I'm excited for Melina.
I was about to bring that up. Yeah, Mickey James is doing really great. Yeah, that was really exciting to see her come back a year or two ago.
Yeah, and she's cool. She's cool, and especially the fact that she's a grizzled vet. I just want more vets. Next up, Brett DiBiase. Ted DiBiase's son, Ted DiBiase Jr.'s brother, pleads guilty of embezzlement.
Oh, no.
Did you hear about this moment?
I don't pay attention to Fred DiBiase. Sorry for the giggle. It's I got the giggle.
No, though, the reason I mention it is because, you know, the Million Dollar Man and his kid was embezzling money. He started a charity, and he was ended up taking money from the welfare fund of Mississippi or something like that. I don't even know all the details, but he pleads guilty. And he was in NXT. Brett DiBiase was in NXT.
Wait, he was in NXT?
Early. Whoa. Yeah, him and his brother were both in FCW, essentially.
Oh, and like the old NXT where it wasn't
old
really
NXT. Old NXT. Yeah.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah. But
he's guilty and his son's going to jail.
What do you think about nepotism?
Are you in general pro? It depends. Like, for instance, like AEW bringing their friends in, I'm cool with that.
Yeah,
I get it. If I had a company, I'd bring you in, you know. And if you have a company, you better bring me in. Right?
No, yeah, I guess so. You're right. Yeah, I would do that. Yeah, you know, you get a shot. Yeah.
People give nepotism, like, I guess when, I don't know when. Like, I know it's a bad thing at times. I just can't think of when. Like when you get away with stuff. I guess nepotism when, like, oh, you're stealing money and then your dad's the boss and he's just like, quit it, son. And then someone else is guilty of the same crime and they get fired or type of thing. Yeah. Like, I don't agree with that. But I don't know. What are your thoughts on it?
I guess I agree. I think it's annoying to me, I guess, in the context of wrestling when it becomes obvious quickly when the performers just aren't good. And then if they are, like, the son of a famous performer, it just becomes that is still alive and has influence as well. If that like, you know, performer does, then you start to just question like how they got that spot when there's, you know, dozens of other people that could very easily get that same spot. So I don't know. Hearing Brett DiBiase in NXT, it's making me wonder how good he was. I haven't seen any of his matches. Or
well,
anything.
Ted DiBiase Jr. was good.
Ted was? Okay.
I liked Ted DiBiase Jr., even though I felt he was very bland personality-wise. Okay. Either way, good luck, Brett. And moving on. We got another one here. So JR's come into some hot water. I don't know if you've heard about this, Moe, with some comments he made about wrestlers not paying attention to story, doing spots that are silly and taking you out of disbelief. Specifically, the Topa Suicida through the ropes onto a group of people, or anytime you like a bunch of people are waiting outside for you to jump. And Brandon Cutler, the savior Brandon Cutler, went on Twitter to kind of call attention to it and call him out a little bit. What are your thoughts initially on this?
I think it was very unprofessional of him to do that. Not Brandon Cutler, JR. I think Brandon Cutler is just making fun of JR. I think you got to fight back a little bit if you're the person doing the thing that he's criticizing so openly, especially when half the locker room does that stuff. But it rubbed me the wrong way, because while I agree with what JR is saying, is those moments, while they can be fun, NXT and AEW do them all the time, where it's too obvious now, where you're just watching people just sit or stand around, you know, it's a boring rest spot where everyone gets to like lay down for like five, you know, two minutes or so. But you know, despite it being, you know, valid criticism, he should not have done it publicly on his podcast or wherever. He should have just told people backstage, you know, you're burying the friggin' program that you're working for, the company you're working for, mm-hmm. half the performers on it. And I think that's really frustrating. That must be very frustrating to be a wrestler.
Now, I agree with you. But my question is, let me pose a question to you. This is JR. Presumably, he's told people this backstage, right? Yeah. Presumably, since he's been in the company, it's been his biggest gripe. Whenever someone jumps on the outside, notice how JR doesn't say a thing ever. You know, he's upset, but he's not saying anything bad, but he holds it in. I'd imagine he tells people backstage about this. I'd only assume. If he's saying it to millions, I'm sure he says it to Tony Khan and the like. Now, if they're not listening, do you think he has any more allowance to say it on his podcast, or you think he still should just keep it to himself and keep it to the people?
I mean, no, because it's not, I don't think that's his job. His job is to be a commentator, right? As far as I know.
You're right.
So he should be excited about that stuff if it's his job. On air, he should be, and then he should tell them it's not a good thing. You know, it's ruining the product for us and everyone else if you can tell that he's not excited and it takes you out of the action, you know.
You're right.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it's not his job to bury the company. He shouldn't be doing that. Yeah, I think even if it's frustrating to him, he should not be doing it. Find something else to do.
Mo and I've been doing one of the cardinal sins of, Loser Leaves Wrestling. I've been listening to Jim Cornette recently. I've been listening to a lot of Jim Cornette, and
that's okay. Because that's okay. I like Jim Cornette. He's okay.
I like him too, but boy, does he get on my... Like, one of the great things about Jim Cornette is that I agree with a lot of his wrestling stance and his political stances. Because he's super anti-Trump and super liberal guy, which I like. He was talking about this very specific instance where he's like, Brandon Cutler, he called him Brandon Cutlet, and he's just like, no, I see it here in the dictionary, cutlet, nondescript piece of white meat, which is really good. But he was saying that Brandon Cutler was basically being a stooge for the Young Bucks, because they're good friends. They're really good friends. Brandon Cutler is friends with them from when they were kids, they were children. And when JR started attacking super kicks, saying, like, people are using super kicks all the time, and it means nothing. Are you saying that Shawn Michaels didn't give as good a super kick as the Young Bucks or something like that? And he's saying that Brandon Cutler was put up to it by the Young Bucks to say something, which I thought was very interesting. And I believe that.
That is very interesting. Yeah, I do think Brandon Cutler, he relies on the Young Bucks way too much, and he's, like, a super fan of the Young Bucks. And I think that's extremely annoying to watch this guy who got... That's nepotism.
That's nepotism when nepotism goes
wrong.
That's
such annoying nepotism that he got in. I mean, I was happy for him, like, when they made that big
announcement. They're better wrestlers.
But, yeah, I think it's more of just the way he's just doing all this, like, extra work for him, for them. And I don't know. Something, it just seems annoying to watch him on being the elite. But that's not fair.
And also, real quick, Darby Allin totally agrees with JR. Yeah. Now we know, who's right and who's wrong. Darby Allin's on JR's side. What a tag team. I hope things do change, though. I really do hope things change, because, like, the fact that everyone in AEW, they can't help themselves. Like, they can't help themselves but have a 20-minute match. It's getting better, though. The past few weeks, I feel like the wrestling's been more grounded.
Yeah.
And a little bit more interesting, because you've been having shorter matches, so that when the longer matches happen, you're like, oh, I'm invested in this, because this isn't something I've seen the entire show, you know?
Yeah. I think they've already began to change. They had that crazy 8-man match or something, last Dynamite.
7-on-7. Or 6-on-6.
Whatever. Yeah. And they didn't do that spot in that match, as far as I remember. I think they're taking the advice now and finding different ways, which is good.
That was a surprisingly okay match.
Yeah, definitely.
We talked about it on the last Woos and Whats of AEW Dynamite. Check it out on the podcast. Now, moving on, we got our last story of the day. And this is something we covered on AEW Dynamite, on the Woos and Whats of AEW Dynamite. But it's worth repeating now. Cody's a daddy. Cody is a daddy. I watched that video.
Yeah.
What pretension of them, like, decorating a Christmas tree and getting a special box at the door, opening it up, and it's a Gucci box. It's a Gucci
box.
They love
Gucci.
I don't know if you realized it. Everyone loves Gucci. I love that that's, like, the unofficial sponsor of AEW is Gucci, with how much Rusev, and, like, how much they talk about it. But, this does not belong in storylines, correct? This does not belong on TV, right?
Nah, I think it's okay. I don't know. What I didn't like about it was the...
What happened to heel Mowat?
Well, all right. This is real Mowat now. When it's capital M Mowat, that's sure. My character. When it's just Mowat, it's
different. Mowat.
Yeah,
no,
yeah, it's
it.
Like Hulk Hogan.
I get it. The news, we can't be heels on the news, and that's fair.
What bugged me about it was the video combined with Cody's stupid entrance that always annoys me. It's very unnecessary. then Brandy coming out in the white dress, kissing Cody, and then the announcers being like, baby, 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 you know, it's sure. we don't need this. Like, it already feels like, you know, like the company was designed for Cody to be a megastar, like the based off his entrance, like it just feels so much. But, you know, I think it's okay to announce it. Like, it's a very exciting thing. And I'm very happy for them to have a baby. That's a big moment for any, you know, any couple. So that's okay. Like, John Moxley mentioned it. He revealed it on Dynamite.
Yeah, mentioning it is one thing, but creating a promo package to be on TV, taking, what, 2 minutes?
Yeah, yeah.
2 minutes away from show?
Yeah.
To announce that they're having a baby?
Oh, that part's annoying.
Usually... Yeah. Usually people just send a card, you know, expecting like it's,
they could have taken the video out completely and just done like Brandy walking out.
That's an Instagram post. Yeah. That is 100% an Instagram post.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That they put on TV.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They disgusting. Have that trouble. They're very like close to being like a McMahon family light. You know what I mean? They're very yeah. close. Like they're doing a lot of the thing. Like Brandy is very similar to Stephanie McMahon in this role where she is like, she has the power. Not the baby part, but in general, as her like on screen role in AEW yeah. is that she has all this power and she can put herself in. And every single time she puts herself into a storyline, it's all about her. Somehow, every single yeah. one is about her until we realize that the story isn't working, and then it's just completely done. And she gets all these resets. And Cody's the same way as like Triple H or you know, even Shane McMahon. He's in it, and the story has to revolve around him. It's just that he's really talented and good at his specific brand.
Yeah, I just feel like Brandy, she when you compare to Stephanie, yeah, a lot like that, except Stephanie like is entertaining. You could hate her, or you could feel like a certain way about her. She knows how to talk and she knows how to deliver and she knows how to use the levels of her personality to work a storyline. It feels like every single time Brandy says anything, it's at a 9.
Yeah.
As it's at a 9 in personality. Like it's like so over the top angry each time whenever she's in a program. That's just like where it feels like someone's like a bad video. It feels like a bad sketch. It feels like improv.
She was good. Yeah, I think she could be better. I think she is getting better, and I think she was really good in the valet role where she had like an on-screen presence and she could talk on the mic occasionally, but what I liked about that role was she wasn't the main attraction. When she everything yeah. she does now, she has to be at the top, so she has to run with it, you know, and it's too much of a spotlight every single time. Like they're not giving her the Britt Baker treatment where they let her grow into like a really good performer today. Is that Brandy has God to be throwing water on Shaq and having a moment when there's no reason for her to be doing that with him. Like just she needs like baby steps. But
yeah. One of the biggest issue I have with the Shaq promo, this Shaq program, is the fact that when they do have a match, when Shaq and Cody do have a match, if they have a match, who knows? When they do the promo package, are they going to put that video of her throwing the water on him? Because that didn't look good. Are they going to put the video of Jade interrupting Cody? Because that wasn't good either. Like, there's, like, everything leading up to this program. I can't imagine that big promo package that they do to set up the feud having any of these moments in them because they're all pretty bad.
Yeah. You know what I think? I don't think they're going to have the match. I think it's going to turn into yeah. another Mike Tyson moment for AEW where they just, we're friends with a celebrity. Yeah, come in. We'll get a big ratings pop for a night and then forget about it, you know? It'll be fun.
And I feel like, Shaq has done this before when you think he's going to have a match and then he doesn't. He was supposed to have a match with Shaq, Big Show, yeah. Like, what, 3 years ago?
WrestleMania, which actually would have been really fun as a spectacle on WrestleMania, yeah.
Because Big Show versus Mayweather was amazing.
Uh-huh.
Did you see
no.
that?
No, I did, but I don't remember it that well, yeah.
Watch it yeah. again. That is one of the punched, best celebrity matches.
He gets for real punched like 8 times in the face, which would have pissed me off so much if I was him.
He breaks his nose.
Yeah, that would have pissed me off. He breaks his nose. Yeah. God.
But if you watch that match again, like it's like a good celebrity match. And Big Show knows how to deliver big matches. Big Show, like they'll spend time away. They'll get set the match up. They'll plan everything out. And then when they have the match, it would be really cool to see.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we'll never get that. We'll get Cody versus Shaq. if that ever happens, if Shaq doesn't back out. But it doesn't look like it. But that one moment, that's it. That's the end of the news. That's the end of the news. The news you can't lose.
Yay, great job, Brad.
We're not done yet.
Oh, what?
Because we are loaded with some emails from our Mowat mailbag.
That's right.
Mailbag
Mowat.
That's
right. Mailbag Mowat. Here we go.
Mailbag Mowat.
I just got to open the mailbag. Mailbag is being opened
big
up.
Burlap sack.
Here we go. Three emails.
It's crazy how we receive so many physical letters in this mail.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the way it's crazy. Time of the year. You got to send stuff and use the post office. Yeah. First one.
You're like Santa Claus.
Clang from the north. Clang says, do you think extraterrestrial gimmicks have a place in wrestling? Huh. Thank you, Clang.
Thank you, Clang. From the north. That's weirdly general.
I feel okay with it.
Yeah, it's fine. It's probably the North tag team. They're from the north too. For an impact.
Oh, do you think how far north? How far north are we talking? Do you think?
Well, his name is Clang. I've never. That doesn't sound like a Canadian name.
No, it doesn't sound like any kind of name. It sounds. I mean, it sounds like something you'd hear on like Mars or something.
Whoa, let's not get offensive. Jeez. Well, we're extraterrestrial gimmick. Do you like, can you think of any alien gimmicks?
I know they've done it. They've had to have done it.
Like Max Moon, but that wasn't an alien gimmick. That was like that wasn't even anything.
No, he was like extraterrestrial, though. He was from a different, from a different galaxy or planet or something ridiculous. But he didn't act like an alien the way you'd imagine an alien. Because wrestling is very stereotypical, is probably what you're saying.
I guess the closest thing in modern times to an alien gimmick is Broken Matt Hardy.
Yeah.
Being from a different dimension. Can we think of anything else? Would you want an alien gimmick? That's a better question. Do you think there should be an alien gimmick in wrestling?
I think you could do it. I think there's a way to do it in a very fun, silly way. I just can't think of it off the top of my head. And it's one of those things like a lumberjack or something. It's so close to just being dumb.
It's crazy that it's not happened more often, right?
I guess so. Yeah.
That's pretty absurd because they've had pretty much everything else and they've done it to death, but we haven't seen any alien gimmicks.
No.
In decades.
I'm still trying to figure out where Max Moon is from, to be honest.
Mowat, wouldn't I look good as an alien?
You want to be an alien?
Paint my bald head green. That's a great wrestling gimmick for me.
No, that's just because you're bald. There's nothing else after that makes you look like an alien.
Mowat, I'm bald.
Well, that's it. That's all you got.
With being an alien.
That is a big moment. To be an alien, you would have
that's
to...
That's half the battle.
Yeah, you could draw face paint, I guess. Make your eyes
A big eye, yeah, big eyes, but big head. I think there's something. I think that's a big missed opportunity that we all need to jump on. Why don't you get black contacts?
Yeah,
big black contacts, and then you paint my head gray, like I'm completely gray with black eyes.
I've seen creepy character, monster type characters that aren't necessarily alien, but could be seen as from different worlds or stuff. That I've seen, I can think of at least one that acts like that.
Ooh.
She's on the indies, and she's called the Insidious One. She doesn't have a face.
The Insidious One. Holler at us, Insidious One, if you want us to promote you more on our podcast. It's hitting big numbers. We're all over the place. Moa, our numbers are growing in the UK.
Ooh.
The UK, we have doubled in the past
week.
That's
lovely. I like... I've always wanted to go to the...
Ooh, they love that word, lovely.
They have a great comedy scene.
They love that word.
What's that?
They do. Oh, they love the word lovely. Good. We should say that more often.
Lovely. Very lovely. Yeah.
Lovely. Okay, next mailbag, Mowat mailbag.
Oh, Tristan from Poughkeepsie, New York. Mowat. Hey, look, a question for both of us.
Oh, interesting.
Mowat, what would Red's finisher be? And Red, what would Mowat's finisher be?
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
You're strong. You like being strong.
I like being strong.
I think you would. I think you would also be a show off. I think you would enjoy showing off. Sure. I'm just gonna say the same thing twice. Sorry.
Sure.
I just
like
got self conscious. Yeah, but I know you like the giant swing. So maybe.
I hate the giant swing.
But you do the giant swing all the time again to your
because
friends.
Because it's
at parties. It's a party trick for you.
I I do, actually. But I hate it in wrestling.
But but you would love to, you'd love to do it, though. So, therefore, yeah, I would think, like, practically, but all right, just because I've seen you do it, that maybe that's not your special, your finisher. Would you just do, like, a good power slam? just like a really solid one.
Well, it's your choice. You have to choose what I do. So you're saying I do a solid power slam.
Maybe. I feel like you're a little bit more special than that. I can't just, that's so.
I'll do a taunt before and after.
Yeah.
I do money slam, and then I do a show off thing. You, I see you as a submission guy.
Yeah.
I see you as a submission guy because of your history with Brazilian
Blue belt
jiu-jitsu.
And jiu-jitsu. They love. Oh man, Red, real quick, they love talking that up on Dynamite, and it makes me feel really good because I'm just, you know, like, take Conti. You know, she's a blue belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and I'm like, yeah.
And you're like, I could take Ty Conti.
No, it's but it's just something weird to have someone say, you know, something that mm-hmm. I also. But I, it's like all it attained. Took was it took 2.5 years. To understand it and learn it, you know, I don't feel special necessarily having.
That's a good
it.
Amount of time.
Yeah, it's more, but it's just
training
like going,
for 2 years is a good amount
yeah,
of time.
Yeah, but I'm not like a talent at it or anything. So just to hear him like a blue belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, oh my god! Like all right,
you're
all
on
right,
your
relax.
Way, Moet.
Yeah. Anyways,
but I see you with a submission. I see you with a submission. In all honesty, I think you would do a great. If you look at our Instagram, I superimposed our faces one time on you doing a crossface.
Hey!
A crossface. And I think you doing the crossface, because I could just see you screaming like, ah! Like in that picture where you're like, huh? I could just see you pulling back and wrenching it, and I just see your facials would work really well for a submission that you get to crank back.
I was just thinking about jiu-jitsu of like, well, what's my favorite submission in jiu-jitsu, or what would be the most fun in like a wrestling context? And I was thinking the omoplata, which is basically the crossface. It's like it puts them in the exact same position. You don't yank on the face like, you know, the way a crossface is, but. It's just one extra move, you know? I would totally do that.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a.
You would have to do that, or actually, I could also see with a crossface chicken wing. Because I can imagine you getting from the back and almost like. You ever see Bob Backlund put on the crossface? Where he's just like.
Oh, he's a maniac. Ah! Yeah, just, he was the best. Yeah, I've got.
I,
total...
Actually, I'm going to say you having the crossface chicken wing would be. That's
I've got
it,
total
actually.
Bob Backlund, you know, vibes,
oh,
emotions.
Yeah.
Emotions.
You
yeah.
have Bob Backlund. Like,
I just.
Big Bob.
I'm very. I think I have the same
actually,
amount of charisma
as
him.
That's crazy.
But
that's crazy that you're Bob Backlund, and I never realized it.
I think I act exactly like him.
Yeah.
In promos
and your heel Moet is Bob Backlund.
My what Moet?
And it's crazy. Heel Moet is Bob Backlund.
just
it's
just
amazing.
Screams and is very intense.
Yeah.
And will drop you at any moment with a chicken wing, and not like
I can't
go.
Great question. Great
that was
question,
really fun.
Tristan.
Great
that was
job,
great.
Tristan.
That
was really good.
Good job, Tristan. That was a good one. Do we have any more? Is that it?
We got one more. This one's from
cool.
Chartreuse from Spain.
Oh, we do have a Spain listener, so this must be them.
What are the best...
Chartreuse.
Chartreuse asks, what are the best and worst entrance themes in wrestling? Best and worst.
I'm partial with best, with Mick Foley, Mankind's, the car crash.
Yeah, you like that?
It's classic. It's probably, in my brain, the most classic.
Well,
Austin's
how do you,
in there.
Yeah, because I was thinking Austin, but, like, what do you, how do you define
it's
best?
It's something you could clap to.
How do you define best? Is it how the crowd reacts? And, like, what does it do to the crowd? Or is it the spectacle? Like, you could say, The Undertaker's because is the best for the... It's, like, half of his performance is just in the walk.
Personal. We'd have to do personal favorites. Because if we said how the crowd reacts, then you'd have to say Taker, Stone Cold, Hulk Hogan. Like, you'd have to say those. But, like, personal favorite and personal least favorite. I'm going to go Mick Foley, Mankind, Car
Crash. Oh, good, good. Ultimate Warrior comes to mind first. I don't know if that's my favorite, but that one always got, talk about Bob Backlund vibes. I would always just get up and like, I would have a heart attack at age six. I'd be like, ah, it's time. And it just, the amount of energy he would run out screaming with all the tassels and the face paint. It would drove me crazy.
It gets you amped. And I will also put in my top Ric Flair's. Ric Flair's is perfect. The Space Odyssey.
Oh, yeah. I love that song so much.
Yeah.
Love
it. And him coming out slow. The idea of a slow song, coming out to a slow song is really cool.
His entrance in his, like, you know, so-called last match at WrestleMania, it still should be the last match.
It is the last
match. It is so beautiful with that song mm-hmm. and the robe he chose and, like, the fireworks and his age. Like, you just see the, you know,
the majesty.
He's not looking beautiful anymore. You know, he's an old man. And it's just, there's so much to it. But he's still mm-hmm. proud is what I mean. Like, even though he's, like, withered, he still had that, like, royalty to him. And, oh, man, yeah, that one was great. 100%. That one's, the New Age Outlaws is one of my favorites as well. I think that's a personal fave because I had so much fun. Worst is the friggin' Right to Censor. Or...
That's actually a really funny one that you picked that. I hate... It's a bad one, but it's perfect, though.
Yeah. No, it's perfect for them, I guess. But it's also something... I mute this one, but here's a juicy one. The Inner Circle, or Chris Jericho's entrance, is very close to being the worst for me. I'm so close to it, just from... the repetition of it. I mute it now every week. I mute it. And the worst part is I can't stop singing the damn song because they're mouthing it. And I've heard it so many times. So I'm just like, what have I become? God damn it. Now that I've been trained. Yeah, I'm just so annoyed by it that they decide to give that much time to that song every single week. And then they get mm-hmm. every wrestler to sing it. No matter if they like Jericho or not within the storylines. He just becomes the most beloved person because that's just probably what Tony Khan told everyone to do. Ah, man, it makes me mad. Mm-hmm. That one's...
I think my least favorite, Randy Orton's, is up there. I hate that song. I hear voices in my head. They come to me. I hate that so much. Always have. Always will. And also, William Regal's first WWF one. His second one is great.
Wait, Real
like,
Man?
When it's, like, What? No, not
Real
Man. Real
Man is a classic. That is, I Real listen Man's to that great. At least still twice a year. I listen to an entire day to pump myself up.
I will never say Real Man, but when he became the general manager in 2000, when he first came in 2000, and he had this very, like, tea time music.
Oh, yeah.
And I did not like that. I was just like, you're making him silly and he could be taken serious. Then maybe a year or two later, they gave him this evil, like guard music. And you're like, dun, 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 dun. It feels like dun, a lot of organ. Dun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's obnoxious and unnecessary for that man. Yeah.
Do a quick aside question right here, Moet. Your favorite, you know how in the beginning of songs, of wrestler songs, they have like a car crash or they have like a saying that they do. Do you have a favorite thing that started the music? Like The Rock's is like, if you smell, like Stone Cold's glass break, if you smell the car crash or saying, anything like that, anything that comes to mind.
Stone Cold, without a doubt, that glass break is so exciting, especially when he came out against Bret Hart at WrestleMania 13, I think it was, or whatever it was, with the glass, the Austin 316 glass that literally broke.
It actually shatters.
That gets me so excited every time. It's not my favorite, like, but John Cena's entrance is in the similar vein of, like, it's just so exciting to see what happens to the crowd. Yeah. Like, we were there in Royal Rumble a few years ago, was Cena versus AJ Styles, and to see the crowd go from like kind of bored to just like this frenzied state, like 90,000 people or however many it was, it's just special what those like sound cues are able to do to people.
It is special. I my favorites are very low key because I think they're funny. Are Stevie Richards and Hardcore Holly from like 2002 era. Stevie Richards was like, "I'll show you. You'll see." And Hardcore Holly's is, "How do you like me now?"
Yeah, those are good.
And I thought they were very funny. I thought they were very funny. But yeah, that's the end of the News You Can't Lose with the Mowat Mailbag, Mowat. And thank you all so much for listening to the show. Please follow us on Instagram. I posted a picture of Edge as a honey badger, and it did fair. It did very fair. And you should come check it out as well. Make sure to review us on Apple Podcasts and continue listening and share with your friends. Thank you all so much for listening. My name is Red Jefferson. I'm here with...
Mowat Jaswal.
Mowat, if you were a color in the rainbow that has yet to be invented, what would it be?
God, it would be like a bright, fiery orange. But the orange, I think, is already in the rainbow, so there'd be like sparkles in it. Like
what is it called? What is the name of this fiery, sparkly orange?
Chippy Chap. Chippy Chap.
Chippy Chap! Thank you all so much for watching the Mowat Chippy Chap Jaswal. Bye-bye. Chippy Chap. Chippy Chap. That's perfect. It's like, it's uncanny.